Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Hey, you're looking very good today. Going out in public? I'm not talking about going to Walmart. Nobody dresses to go to Walmart. I'm not talking about that. I wear my good pajama pants to Walmart. No, I'm talking about, are you going out in public where they're real people? Because you're looking really good today. I think you're wearing your best clothes. What's up with that? Going to a cocktail party? A job interview, trying to impress somebody? What's going on with you? This is unlike you. You're scaring me. I don't know you. How many times have you heard that in your life? You're scaring me. I don't know you. Who are you? That's adorable. That's just adorable. Later on the program, we have a guest who is a doctor, a doctore, as they call it. He's going to talk about sleep deprivation. Something that I think I have. When I was younger, I could sleep 10 hours a day. I had a lot of stuff to do when I was younger. I had to go to school, or I was starting a new job or something like that. A lot to do. I had to make a lot of stops during the day. There's just no time in the day for everything. I just had to make time for things I couldn't even do because there was no time to do it in the course of a day. That was when I slept 10 hours a day. I slept most of the day. I was tired. Now, as I get older, I have less to do, less responsibilities, less things I have to go running to, and yet I only sleep about 5 hours tops. It just doesn't balance out. Have you noticed most things in life don't balance out? They kind of don't make sense. Have you found that? No? It's just me? Okay, never mind.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Right. Hold on tight. Right. Things can get a bit weird.
I know.
If you like that sort of thing.
I don't.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Sounds intriguing. Wow. Sounds good. This sounds really good. Wow.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. Right. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. Oh, please, save your applause to the end of the program. I know that you can't stop applauding, and I really appreciate that, but it's really not necessary. Please, hold your applause to the end of the program. I really... Oh, God. Seriously, thank you. Thank you very much. That's not necessary. No, it's not necessary. Okay. Anyway, stop it. Come on, you're embarrassing me. Cut it out. Stop it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So anyway, let's start the show here. First of all, on a sad note, nobody died that I know. That's not what I'm talking about. Rick Santorum, do you know who he is? He's a senator from Pennsylvania. And he's a Republican. And I'm not tagging him, just saying what he is. As you know, over the weekend, all across the world, students and young people were protesting against gun violence. And everybody who sees these kids said, my God, these kids are more mature than the adults. You just got to take your hat off to these kids. They're just They're bold, they're organized, and the message is that for the next election, almost all of these kids will be voters. Uh-oh, that could be trouble. Uh-oh. So you damn better listen to them. They have a way of organizing. Anyway, they do. Not only did they organize protests all across the country in almost all major cities, but around the world, in London and Paris and many, many other countries, they also did in solidarity in those countries. Pretty awesome. Rick Santorum, senator from Pennsylvania, who is running for president, by the way, he was. This was his reaction to the kids protesting against gun violence. He says, and I quote, "How about kids, instead of looking to someone else to solve their problem, do something about maybe taking CPR classes or trying to deal with situations that when there is a violent shooter, that you can actually respond to that?" Rick, that's horrible. He says this on CNN's State of the Union a day after the protests. Okay, here's what you just said, Rick. You just said that, hey, kids, instead of looking to someone else to solve their problem, Rick, you're a senator. You're supposed to represent the public. You're supposed to solve the problems when the public, you expect the kids to solve the problems. Rick, this is your job, buffoon face. Holy crap. Who doesn't get it? Rick Santorum. Oh my God. Then he's basically saying, well, we're not going to do anything about the guns, so you better learn how to deal with school invasions and mass murders in schools. You better learn how to deal with it when it happens rather than try to stop it. Rick, what's wrong with you? Have you been dropping acid? What? Are you serious? Are you serious? Maybe the kid should do something. Maybe taking CPR classes. CPR classes. And what he meant was, when there is a mass shooter in your school, if the students knew CPR, we could save a lot of lives. Rick, what's wrong with you, man? I mean, doctors from across the country immediately responded. Medical associations immediately responded, saying, when someone's shot with an assault weapon, CPR ain't going to do crap. The kids want to make sure that never happens, don't you see, Rick? Well, why are they looking for someone else to solve their problems? Because that's what you're supposed to do, Rick. That's why you're in. That's why you're in Congress, to solve problems for the public. Why can't they do it themselves? I don't understand. I don't understand, Ron. Oh my God, Rick. Rick, that quote is going to haunt you. I'll repeat it because it's so insensitive, I can't believe it. Quote, "How about kids, instead of looking to someone else to solve their problem, do something about maybe taking CPR classes?" What? What? Are you serious? God, Rick. 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 Do you have kids, Rick? All right. The other big story is Facebook. If you've listened to this show before, first of all, you deserve a prize. Secondly, if you've listened to the show before, you know that I dislike Facebook with a passion. It's the responsibility of the individual person, such as yourself and myself, not to divulge your personal information on a public forum. No one's twisting your arm. But Ron, if I want a Facebook page, I can't get it without giving them the personal information. I know. So, like, maybe don't do it. Are you that attention-starved that you need to be this Facebook thing? And in order to log on to many different platforms, they ask for your Facebook information. are you smart enough to put two and two together here? So apparently Facebook has been breached and Zuckerberg has apologized, but I think he's basically saying, what can I do about that? I mean, what do you want me to do? It's not what he said. That's what my supposition is. I'm going to read you an article. I'm going to read to you an article. I don't read you. I can't read you. I try to read you, but I can't read you. Did I say read you? That's a Jew that has been Jewed again. I didn't say that. I said read you. I'm going to read to you an article. It's a scam alert from the Better Business Bureau. It's not just from a person. It's from the Better Business Bureau. This is the bureau that very effectively alerts businesses and the public to scams and things that aren't working well. By the way, use the Better Business Bureau. Do it. If you want to deal with a company and you're buying something from them, sometimes that involves a contract or something that is quite costly, you might just want to go to the Better Business Bureau website. It's easy to do. You Google it and there you are. And you type in the name of the business and the state that the business operates out of, and it tells you the rating of the business, how many complaints there have been against it. I have not done business with many businesses after going to the Better Business Bureau website and finding out this business is very poorly rated and that a lot of people complain about it. And it says what the complaints are and if they resolve them or how they resolve them. It's a really great tool that nobody really uses. You should use it. Anyway, the Better Business Bureau puts this out, and here it is. They're alerting you to a scam. And here we go. In the light of the recent revelation that Cambridge Analytica allegedly mined personal information from more than 50 million Facebook users, the Better Business Bureau is again reminding consumers that what they share online can and will be used for illegal or unethical reasons. In other words, what the Better Business Bureau is saying is as soon as you divulge your personal information, expect that it could be breached or will be sold to somebody else for information. I continue with the article now. Social media quizzes, especially popular on Facebook, seem innocent enough. But taking the quiz might mean you are giving away more about yourself than you originally thought, and may extend to your friends as well. These quizzes ask seemingly silly or useless questions, but hackers can use that information to penetrate your social accounts and gain access to your personal information or the information of your friends and family. So not only are you hurting yourself, you're hurting everybody that's connected to you. That's nice. Some quizzes are designed to steal your data in an outright scam. According to Kristen Abarola of Inquirer.net, once answered, hackers can easily hijack personal accounts and use them to lure in more victims. The hackers will include links embedded in the quiz that can cause security breach of your personal accounts. But the latest news shows that it isn't just scammers who are interested in your quiz answers. It turns out your personal information is big business. We always knew someone was trying to trick us with social media quizzes because they are free, says Business Bureau Chief Security Officer Bill Fennelly. If there is no charge, then the value is the data that they can collect. I'll repeat that. If there is no charge, there must be a value to it, then the value is the data that can be collected. We also knew that it was for the use we probably would not like, because they went to such great lengths to hide their purpose. Now we know we are right on both counts. Not all social media quizzes are about unprincipled data collection, but Better Business Bureau cautions users to be careful about what they share online. Personal profile data, quiz answers, and more can be used to steal your money or let a scammer pretend to be you in order to steal someone else's money. And we now know that seemingly innocent information can even be used to build a profile on you that can be sold to anyone trying to influence society, such as Cambridge Analytica with the 2016 election. Here are some tips from the Better Business Bureau to avoid social media scams. Be skeptical. That's my life. Be skeptical. I'm good. It says, be skeptical. Before you take a quiz, figure out who created it. Is it a brand you trust? That's if you even believe that it's coming from that brand. Sometimes scammers will steal logos and use them. I got a quiz survey thing from CVS, and it asked for information about myself because it said that I could win a prize if I filled out this survey. It seemed odd to me. I called CVS corporate, which is, you know, in the computer. You call them up as, are you doing a quiz? I said, no, that's a scam. We know about it. We've gotten calls about it. That's a scam. That's not us. They stole your logo. I know. Adjust your privacy settings. Review your social media accounts' privacy settings and be strict about what information you share. Remove personal details from your profile. Do that now, seriously. Don't share information like your phone number or home address on social media accounts. Don't accept friend requests from people you don't know. Some people are on Facebook because they're so starved for friendship and social contact that they brag about, oh, I have 800 friends, I have 2,000 friends. You don't have any friends. You don't know these people. Half of them are your enemies or trying to scam you. Good information from the Better Business Bureau. This is me talking now. Good information from the Better Business Bureau. Go onto your Facebook account. Take out information. Just take it out. Take out your birthday. You can leave the year in there. I don't know if you can do that, but because you like to hear on your birthday how everybody is wishing you a happy birthday. It makes you feel good, right? What price do you pay to have your ego stroked? I say that to you, and I say to Donald Trump, too. You're paying the price, Don. Lion Don. Lion Don, liar in chief, that's who he is. Liar in chief. Don't get me started on that man. I don't understand the Republican Party, and I'm not saying it because I'm not a Republican. I'm just saying it because I don't understand them. As I said, I've lived through many Republican presidencies. I've tolerated Republicans and their policies, but I truly believe that they wanted a better country. I don't understand now. The entire Republican platform has been desecrated by this Trump individual who has made a mockery of the Republican Party and all it stands for, being fiscally conservative. He shot that to hell, this Trump guy. Showing respect for all peoples, he shot that to hell, this Trump guy. Being a role model for children and for upcoming societies in this country, the Republican Party was. Trump has shot that to hell. And yet there's nobody in the Republican Party who stands up and says, I don't like Trump. I'm running for president next time. I hold the Republican values and standards, but I'm a respectful person, and I want to build this country, not destroy it like Trump does for personal reasons. That guy or that woman could be your next president. Easily. Easily. But nobody stands up to Trump. The bullying works. What is the lesson, kids? Bullying works. I think it's despicable that we're even going through this. Hey, Melania, your husband cheated on you while you had babies. Do we hear from you? No. What is her response when quizzed about the Stormy Daniels thing? How does Melania respond?
I'm looking forward to my next challenge, trying to help people.
So no response, right? Of course, it's a personal problem. Let me tell you something, Don. Let me tell you something, Melania. When you become president, there's no more personal stuff. You might as well be on Facebook and spill all your personal information because you're a target. especially when you act like an asshole. It's not that they're out to get you. It's that you've put yourself out there to be gotten. Trump convicts himself through his tweets and his words more than any prosecutor could possibly ever have to do it. It's a prosecutor's dream. I don't have to get information out of the dickhead. He does it all himself. He persecutes himself. Bring him on. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. All right. All right. All right. All right. That's enough. Okay, I'm just trying to help you out, man. I'm just trying to help you out. I'm just trying to help you out.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
And I got a question for you.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today?
All right, all right. Here's what's funny. Yesterday, I live in the Boston area, as I've told you so many times. I'm sick of telling you. It's cold here. It's spring, spring-like, but it's freezing cold. It's like high temperatures of like 30, 35. And last night it was cold with a very brisk wind. The wind chill temperature is probably about 15, 16 degrees. And I see a guy walking down the street. He's not jogging. He's walking down the street. He's wearing a ski cap with a hoodie. Those are sweatshirts with hoods on them, by the way. Pulled over his ski cap, this big heavy sweatshirt, but below his waist, he's wearing shorts, and then sneakers and socks. Sneakers and socks, ladies and gentlemen. Socks and sneakers, I didn't think that was a thing. I didn't think it was a thing. Point is, the guy's wearing shorts. North of his waistline, he's dressed like an Eskimo. South of his waistline, he's dressed like he's roaming the jungles of Costa Rica. I couldn't figure out. I was so motivated to run outside and say, oh, I don't know you, but I've got to stop you and ask you, what the hell's wrong with you? Explain to me your wardrobe choice. Could you just explain it to me so I can understand what goes on in the minds of human beings like yourself? But I didn't do that because that would be rude. And I'm not a rude person. Well, that's debatable. I suppose that's debatable. All right. My guest is coming up after this, and we're going to talk about stuff, man. We're going to talk about stuff. My guest and I. My guest and I do things together. We're going to talk about sleep deprivation, and it's going to be weird because... I don't know. I like to talk about sleep, but only when I'm tired. So, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work out.
The city streets are empty now. The lights don't shine no more.
Ron, how you doing, bud?
How you doing here?
Not too bad, not too bad. Nice to talk to you in the morning.
Yeah, well, it's nice to talk to you any time of day, actually.
Thank you.
Raj Dasgupta joins us now, and we're talking about sleeping and getting a good night's sleep. And, yeah, what is 18% of Americans, I understand, experience EDS. What is EDS?
So excessive daytime sleepiness, the key thing, Ron, is to kind of make sure that we don't confuse it with another word, which is tired. Uh-huh. There was actually a trial that Jazz Pharmaceuticals did. It pulled 3,000 Americans across our country and asked them, do you know what the difference is between tired and excessive daytime sleepiness? And the best way to describe it, Ron, for an answer is going to be, I have two wonderful kids, but they kept me up last night, you know? And today I'm very, very tired, but there's no way I'm going to fall asleep during our show. And that's what excessive daytime sleepiness is. Okay. It can be a warning sign. It can be something pathologic. And this is something that can be associated with not only things like sleep deprivation, but also sleep apnea, and what we're here talking about today, which is going to be narcolepsy. This is going to be one of the hallmark symptoms of why patients seek out a sleep physician to help out with this very debilitating symptom called excessive daytime sleepiness.
And that's always a mark of the fact that you don't get enough sleep during the night. And, you know, I always hear about what the proper amount of sleep is, but doesn't that vary for various types of people?
Well, that's a great question. And the key thing is to answer that, I always think about the two cues, Ron. Number one is quantity of sleep. And the American Academy of Sleep Medicine suggests around 7 to 8 hours of sleep in most individuals. But watch what I said, most. Sleep is very individualized, and it really depends on how you're functioning during the day. But if you think you're getting the right quantity of sleep, then the next cue kicks in, which is going to be quality. And quality sleep means, are you going to the deeper stages? Mm-hmm. But when we talk about patients with narcolepsy, that there's this myth going out there that people with narcolepsy are sleeping all the time, and that is absolutely wrong. They, in fact, have poor sleep at night, multiple awakenings, and they do have excessive daytime sleepiness, which means during a conversation, just like this, during work, during school, they get attacks of sleep when they should be awake. It's very, very debilitating.
Maybe they should just get a nighttime job.
Well, it's not about nighttime because of the fact that there's always that dysregulation there.
Yeah.
And you know what the tough part is, Ron, is that narcolepsy actually gets misdiagnosed. It almost takes 10 years to make the correct diagnosis. It gets confused with depression, obstructive sleep apnea, even insomnia sometimes. And that's why I'm so happy to be here raising awareness about narcolepsy.
Now, what type of physician would diagnose narcolepsy if there are so many other explanations for one being tired continually?
That's great. You know, I always love to start off with my primary care physician.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely let them know, like, hey, we should mention if you're having excessive daytime sleepiness. And in fact, the poll that Jazz Pharmaceuticals did showed that 61% of the 3,000 people that were polled didn't even feel it was necessary or felt that, should I even go see a doctor about that?
Yeah.
But most of the time, a sleep physician, such as myself, will know how to make the correct diagnosis.
Okay. Now, so we talked about what this is, but now the big question is, what would we do about it if we were diagnosed with it?
Oh, great question. So first, I'll say this. There are treatment options out there, and no one with narcolepsy needs to suffer because do we know what the cause of narcolepsy is? The answer is no. But because of research, we did identify a very specific protein to get a little medical on you, Ron. It's called hypocretin, and we know that it's going to be at lower levels in patients who have narcolepsy in their brain. But the first step into getting the good treatment is first making the right diagnosis. Because if it's misdiagnosed, you won't get the right treatment and therapy. And that's why raising awareness is important, emphasizing that there is the word tired. What I'm looking for is excessive daytime sleepiness, and no one needs to live with that.
What if you have sleep apnea and narcolepsy? How do you know?
Wow.
Yeah,
well, you know, Ron, I have to say, you probably have bad luck.
Okay, all right. I guess
but I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. Hey, you know, 20 to 25 million people have obstructive sleep apnea.
Yeah.
It's something that has its own therapies and treatments, and it needs to be addressed. But if you are treated appropriately and you still have excessive daytime sleepiness, we can work you up and help you live a better life and treat you.
Yeah. And we haven't talked about the actual dangers involved with not getting enough sleep, where we've heard about fatal accidents because someone falls asleep at the wheel, or there's actual danger in what they do, and they're not paying attention. I guess when you're tired, you're not as sharp and alert as you would be otherwise.
Yeah, Ron, this comes down to two words, sleep deprivation. And you know nothing good happens when you are sleep deprived. Mm-hmm. It affects your memory. It affects your cognition, your accuracy. And just on the way to this interview, hey, I was on the freeway. There was a huge semi-truck next to me. And mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they don't have an attack of excessive daytime sleepiness.
Right.
Because you're right, it only takes a second for something to happen,
yeah.
Which is why that is the symptom. If you have it, those who are listening, I would suggest this. We have a website called morethantired.com,
mm-hmm.
and what it does is give you some of the symptoms and info about narcolepsy. It has a questionnaire to say that, hey, if you or a loved one may have it, maybe I should go see a physician. And the last thing it does is tell you what doctors are close to you that actually could help you make the right diagnosis and treat you.
Good. Very, very good. Yeah, very important. Lack of sleep for any reason. There's more stress in your life. Your relationships fall apart. And, of course, the dangers. So it's important to get properly diagnosed for any kind of problem like that. And as you said at the top of the interview, anything that interferes with the quality of your life is of concern.
Yeah. Because, you know, Ron, we spend a lot of time in what we do during the day. People always tend to forget that there's a whole 8 hours at night that affects your life during the day.
Yeah. True. Sometimes I'm scared to go to sleep because my dreams are just so intense. It's like, well, how did I survive my dream, much less life itself?
Well, you know, speaking of dreams, people with narcolepsy, there are some certain symptoms that they may have. They experience sleep paralysis, and I think many of us may have had that once in a while. And I got to tell you, Ron, if you never had one, it is scary.
What is body, it? What is that? Ron?
What? I was going to tell you in a second. Yeah. It's going to be a disconnect between your brain and body. Your brain may be awake, but your body is stuck in what we call REM sleep. And REM sleep is a stage of sleep where your body becomes paralyzed. It's kind of like a protective mechanism so you won't reenact your dreams. And many people will experience sleep paralysis periodically, but people with narcolepsy, that's one of those symptoms.
Ooh.
Along with these visual hallucinations, and they have something called cataplexy. And you're going to ask me, Raj, what is that? I'll tell you. It's going to be this loss of muscle tone that actually starts because you're exposed to intense emotions like laughter and crying and anger. So these are some of what we call accessory symptoms, along with the cardinal symptoms, which are going to be excessive daytime sleepiness and actually poor sleep at night.
Wow. Well, maybe some people listening are saying to themselves, hey, I have some of those things. And that's the time to speak up about it. The website is morethantired.com, morethantired.com. Dr. Raj, thank you so much for your time today.
You're so welcome, Ron. You take care, bud.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, bud. Call me Bud. I'm Bud. Bud. Call me Bud. Bud. Hey, have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. Join me again tomorrow, will you? Until then, this is Bud wishing you peace. My name is Bud, and Bud, I'm Bud. That's my name, Bud. It's my name at birth, Bud. I'm Bud. Everybody's buddy. Everybody's buddy. Everybody. My name is Bud. This is gonna haunt me all day, this Bud thing.